Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. When you think about Native American food, what comes to mind first? Was fry bread the first thing that flashed in your brain? Many Native families have their own recipe for what they consider the most tastiest fry bread on the planet. Fry bread can be crispy or thick and can be topped with any number of tasty ingredients. But it's not exactly healthy food, and its native roots are shallow. What do you think? Join us this hour and tell us if you're yay or nay on fry bread. National Native News is next.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonio Gonzalez. For the first time in its 50-year history, Alaska's largest statewide Native organization has endorsed a presidential candidate. In a statement, the Alaska Federation of Natives says they picked Hillary Clinton because of the Democrats' long record of support for Native priorities, and what they say is her commitment to continued and authentic engagement. AFN President Julie Kitka commented on the endorsement during a joint meeting between leadership from the AFN and the National Congress of American Indians.
The question came down to, do we move forward and continue to build our rights as Native people, or do we accept being marginalized as Native people and put on the back burner?
The AFN represents nearly 80,000 people. The group never mentions Donald Trump by name in its statement. Several top NCAI leaders personally endorsed Clinton earlier this spring. Arizona's 7th legislative district is gearing up for a new direction. Still weeks away from the election, the outcome is all but certain. That's because Democratic state Senate candidate James Sita Peshlakai is running for the seat without any opposition from a major party. The district covers much of the northern and eastern parts of the state that includes several tribal nations. Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heintjes reports.
Peshlakai has deep roots in northern Arizona. Her family is originally from the area now designated as Wupatki National Monument north of Flagstaff. Her great-grandfathers collaborated with President Theodore Roosevelt in annexing land that became the western portion of the Navajo Nation.
I was born and raised in the area. I have a name that is synonymous with culture, tradition, and the struggle of the Native American in the region. I've always dedicated my life to public service.
Peshlakai is a U.S. Army veteran of the Persian Gulf War who served with the 403rd Combat Hospital. She helped overhaul the Navajo Veterans Administration earlier this year and was recently appointed the agency's interim executive director. Peshlakai is also the former state representative of LD7. If elected to the state Senate for the district, Peshlakai says her priority will be to protect the state's environment as well as tribal watersheds.
We consider this our home, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally as well. There's a greater duty to the district and to ourselves and to all that is pretty much permanent here, the earth, the water, and the natural resources.
Peshlakai says tribal sovereignty, job creation, and the removal of dark money from statewide campaigns are also of vital importance. LD7 includes 8 tribal nations like the Havasupai, Hopi, and Navajo and spans 7 Arizona counties. The district Senate seat will be vacated by Republican Carlisle Begay, who didn't seek re-election this year. The 53rd Arizona State Legislature will convene in January. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heintjes in Flagstaff.
The U.S. Attorney's Office in South Dakota is looking for public help in solving 2 shooting deaths on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. The homicides have taken place in the past few weeks. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
The U.S. Attorney's Office, along with the FBI and Bureau of Indian Affairs, is trying to solve the fatal shootings of 34-year-old Annie Kohlhoff and 29-year-old Vincent Brewer III. Kohlhoff was killed in Pine Ridge late last month, while Brewer was shot outside Pine Ridge late Sunday afternoon during a basketball tournament. Supervisory Assistant U.S. Attorney Greg Peterman says officials will take any help that can lead to solving the homicides.
Anything out of the ordinary, in fact, sometimes not out of the ordinary, but that folks can remember that might have caused their attention to be directed to that is extremely helpful.
The FBI is the lead investigator in the deaths of Kohlhoff and Brewer. When arrests are made, the U.S. Attorney's Office for South Dakota will conduct the prosecution. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
And I'm Art Hughes.
No. National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Fry bread is one food that stretches across many Native nations. You find it at roadside stands, at powwows, and perhaps even at your own breakfast table. Recipes vary by tribe, and some people use yeast, others don't. Some add milk, maybe even maple syrup, and the shape of fry bread is also a source for debate. Which is better? Flat, round, puffy, or maybe another shape. And fry bread has legendary status. Just listen to this appreciation from the character Thomas Builds the Fire in the movie Smoke Signals as he talks to Susie Song about Arlene's fry bread.
Victor's mom makes the best fry bread in the whole world.
Really?
It's so good they use it for communion back home. Arlene Joseph makes some Jesus fry bread that can walk across water, fry bread rising from the dead.
But as much as people appreciate fry bread, there are also detractors. Some people call it fort food or assimilation food because it has ingredients, and it is the product of ingredients that were supplied in U.S. government rations. And today we want to know, what do you think about fry bread? Should we celebrate it? Do you think it'll ever go away, or is it too delicious to give up? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And right now, joining us from Pawnee, Oklahoma, is Ramona Horsch Chief. Fry bread is her business. She's a 5-time National Indian Taco Champion and Fry Bread Champion. And she is Pawnee and Cherokee. Ramona, thank you for being with us. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Tara. Thanks for having me.
Indeed. And Ramona, I think that fry bread tribute at the beginning, many people, that scene resonates with a lot of folks. And when I say fry bread, what do you think?
Fry bread among the Pawnees, we use it, I think it as a filler, and it brings comfort, and it's a filler to our tummies, because we fill up on it, and then we use it a lot of in our traditional dances here in Pawnee, and a lot of in our ceremonial dances as well. So we hold it high among the Pawnees.
And I mentioned your title, National Indian Taco Championship, 5-time winner. What does it take to be that, and what does it mean to you?
To me, it's the, well, I have 18 years of culinary background, but I also, it's the perfect fry bread along with the perfect toppings that go with it. And the contest that I won these in, which was in Pawhuska, Pawhuska, Oklahoma, which is put on by the Chamber of Commerce. There, your judges are based upon the fry bread itself, with the texture and the density of it, and then the ingredients that go on top of it.
And so, I also understand you got some other fry bread titles under your belt. What are those for, and how do you feel about them?
Those are just a couple of contests I entered, and they're local here in Miami, Oklahoma, and Jinx, Oklahoma. One was put on by the Muscogee Creek Nation, another one was just the Miami, Oklahoma, by the Chamber of Commerce, and those are judged upon the texture of the fry bread, the look, and the size as well. So, to me, I'm told that I make a a golden, pretty rye bread. And to where it's, you know, not real rough looking, but it's smooth and to the eye and smooth in texture as well. And I also make my rye bread fluffy, and it's large in size. It's probably about the size of my hand, and which is about, I don't know, about 8 inches or so.
And right about now, Ramona, people are getting hungry. They're thinking of it, or maybe somebody has some fry bread in their lunch and they're cracking into it early, or
right.
It's just right time for fry bread.
Ramona,
you've established you got some credit when it comes to making good fry bread. And folks, if there's somebody who makes fry bread really well in your community, why? Call us, tell us, 1-800-996-2848. With that, what about its origins? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I was told, but this is just from family that's been told, that the Navajos are the ones that were originated. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. And I know that that us as the Pawnees, that, and this is just my grandmother, my Uka, which means grandmother in Pawnee. She had told me that her grandmother, that they used it, you know, to live off of when they were rationed it by the government. So, you know, where it originated, I couldn't tell you that. So, but that's just what I'd heard, that the Navajos had started it. So.
All right. Thank you for that. And maybe you also have a take. Do you know the history of fry bread, where it all began? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. Ramona, we got a call we're going to take. We're going to start off by saying hello to Mike in Buffalo Springs, New Mexico, tuned in on KGLP. Mike, thank you for your call and your thoughts on fry bread.
I just wanted to comment that it's been a staple of my whole life and my grandparents and stuff like that. And nowadays, they come out with not having fried bread because of the lard and the ingredients and stuff like that. But I, myself, being raised with it and stuff, I can tell when they don't make it the way the grandma used to make it back in the day. So when I get to that point, I won't eat it because it doesn't taste the same. And I know we used to sing some songs, 49ers, about fried bread and how it kind of coincides with the girls, you know, fried bread girls and stuff, and how we love their round shape and their brown and crispy.
All right, Mike, thank you for your call. Again, folks, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Ramona, by the way, who taught you to make fry bread?
My grandmother did. She was a full-blood Pawnee. And like I said, I call her Uka, and her name was Effie Little Eagle Osborne. And she's the one that taught me. And she started teaching me. I was looking at some pictures the other evening, and there were some pictures up there, and I was about 6-7 years old, where we were out at her house, and she liked to, when family gather, and she would go out, and she'd cook out over the open fire, and or at our Pawnee homecoming. We don't call it a powwow, we call it a homecoming to honor the veterans, but we would camp out, and, you know, there, she cooks out over the open fire, and there's a picture of me there, you know, standing next to her, and she's got a big bowl of fry bread dough on her lap, and she's wearing her apron, and, you know, my mom's standing there next to her with the long fry bread poker, what they used, and, you know, they're making fry bread, but that's where it originated with teaching me was my grandmother, and then I also had a aunt that she would show me tricks of making fry bread. Among here, among other tribes, there's a lot of and we've got a lot of good Pawnee fry bread makers, but I learned from my grandmother and my aunt, but originally from my grandmother, because she was a good cook. She liked to make fry bread, and she made homemade bread as well.
And folks, you can also share some of your family history, too. Who taught you to make fry bread, and what did they teach you along with it? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Ramona, when you think of all of those lessons and what was taught, did anything else come along with it? Any stories or the reason why you're making bread for people you care about?
Most definitely. My grandmother, and as a Pawnee boy, but it started my teachings from my grandmother, my Ukka, Effie, was that, you know, when we're making fry bread and we're putting food out for people, that we're not to have any bad feelings or be angry or upset while we're preparing this, because this food is blessed, because as you put this food out and you're feeding others, whether it be at dances or just to the community or family, that, you know, that food, and you're having good thoughts and even prayerful thoughts over that. You can pray over your food as you're preparing it, and that those blessings, that they go out into whoever you're feeding, and that'll sustain them and carry them through their day. Or, you know, they could be, because to me, food is, food gives you a good feeling. I mean, we all enjoy food, and, you know, there's, food just makes you feel good. And so with that, when you're putting this food out and that fry bread out, when people, you know, as I serve at my concessions, that when we serve Indian tacos, that, you know, people take into the bite of that first piece of a fry bread or Indian taco, and they're like, you know, it brings a smile to their face. And it, you know, it smells good, and that goes out into, you know, they could be having a bad day. You know, just a piece of fry bread or that food that they taste, you know, it can bring a smile to their face, and it can make them feel better for just a second. And so that's what we believe, is that Pawnees believe, is that whenever you're cooking and you're in the kitchen and you're preparing your food, that, you know, you have good thoughts and you're prayerful, and you're, because we hold it, I wouldn't say sacred, but we hold it up high to where that food is important, because, you know, as most natives believe, that it sustains you and it can carry through your day. And that's what I always do whenever I'm making my fry bread, is that, you know, I make sure that, and it's usually in the mornings before, you know, before any of my family's up, and I'm in a kitchen by myself, and, you know, I could be mixing up, you know, usually it starts about 20 pounds, 25 pounds of flour as I get ready to go to work for the day. And it's quiet, you know, and I'll have thoughts of my grandmother, because I've got pictures of her in my kitchen, and those thoughts come into me that, you know, to be kind of like respectful and quiet, and as you're preparing that, because that's important, because that'll carry others throughout their day, and you'll bring a smile to their face. But yeah, that in our ceremonies, we call the cooks that blessed food, because, you know, good thoughts and prayers can go into that, and that goes out into the community and to others. And so that's what I always taught, and, you know, that's what I do on a, you know, on a daily basis. I do this probably 2 or 3 days a week, because it has helped me to provide for my family. And my grandmother always told me that, you know, that food, I mean, that, you know, that cooking and this fry bread, she says it can, you know, it can get your education, but you can use this to provide for your family.
Sure. And folks, are you relating to any of this? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. Are these similar things you've heard that have been connected to fry bread? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. We're going to go ahead and take a call, Ramona, and say hello to Manuel in Denver, Colorado, listening today online. Manuel, thank you for your call. And what would you like to throw in the fry bread mix?
I was concerned about the diabetes across Indian country. I thought flour was one of the contributing factors.
All right. And you know what? Fry bread does have two sides. Ramona, with everything said and just understanding how food is important, Manuel takes us to the other side of fry bread, another side that a lot of people might shy away from or critique its use and the way it's woven in, especially when it comes to our health. Ramona, how do you digest that?
As in, I'm sorry, I kind of cut out, and I got a bad connection. I couldn't hear everything that was said, his question.
Sure, no problem. In a nutshell, people think fry bread isn't so great when it comes to the health side. What do you think about that, or how do you How do you, you know, sit with that? Just knowing what you've been taught and everything you just shared with us of all the good that's connected to it. You know, we can't get away from the fact that it's bread, it's greasy, and it might contribute to diabetes, like our caller Manuel shared.
Well, you know, I believe, and you know, I understand that, you know, it's greasy and it's deep fried, and but as anything else, I believe it's in moderation. And I think that, you know, not only you can't say that fried bread contributes to diabetes, but you can say that, you know, the daily lifestyle of a human being would can, you know, cause the, you know, the diabetes. Yes, the diabetes is high among Native Americans, but you have to look in there the other aspects of it as well, which is fitness, you know, the activities that children may be getting at a young age. Now we have technology, and, you know, to where children are outside playing. Like when I was younger, you know, they're in there doing technology. But, you know, it's just, I believe that everything in moderation, you know, that would be because, you know, in actuality, people don't eat fry bread every day. And I think that everything, just as anything else, it's moderation. You know, my mother, she's 82 years old, and, you know, she doesn't eat fry bread every day. Yes, she has diabetes, but that's running the family. But she'll still eat, you know, fry bread. But everything, to me, is in moderation and exercise. And just like anything else, you know, there's all, they say, all kinds of food that contribute to cancer and to diabetes and to, you know, they come up with all different kinds of things. And but yet, you know, I had a grandmother who did eat fry bread quite a bit and bread, and she lived to be, you know, up in her 80s, but, and she didn't have diabetes. And just like anything else, it's, and my husband's, you know, she lived to be in her 90s, and they ate fry bread quite a bit, but I think that everything is just in moderation.
I think that's a key, Ramona. Just thinking about moderation. And folks, anything you want to share? What do you think about the bad rap that fry bread gets? Is it fair to say that fry bread causes diabetes? What about obesity? How do you feel? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. Let's take in another view, Ramona. We're going to say hello to Cindy in Washington, in Sadus, I believe, listening on KYNR. Cindy, thank you for your call and share your thoughts.
Oh, Chuck Maitsky there.
I'm
grew up on fried bread in the mouth at our feast gathering at home. And my grandma would live to make fried bread. That was the treat. And she had diabetes. My mother had diabetes. And we... it's a treat, like a donut, you know. You don't have it every day. And we have a fry bread contest over here. We make the fire, and there's a lot of people that never tried it. What is that? Tri-Cities, they had a fry bread stand there. We had a lineup for 2 hours, and we kept up. My aunt was there helping. It's just awesome how some people... we had a basketball team coach ask what kind of vitamins is in there. We told him vitamin A through Z.
So taking an even deeper look into what lies within the bread. And Cindy, thank you for giving us a view there. And folks, maybe you just want to call in and give a view of what fry bread is like in your own community. Maybe how does it compare to other nations? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. And Ramona, any thoughts on how fry bread, anytime somebody hears Native American and then they think of our food, a lot of times they think of fry bread and Navajo tacos or Indian tacos. What do you think about that, Ramona?
I think like the caller before had said, was that there's a lot of people, you know, that haven't had fry bread or Indian tacos. And, you know, like I said, I work every weekend and sell this in my concession. And, you know, they don't know what it is. They're curious. But once they do taste it, you know, they're like, wow, that's really good. And, you know, there's a lot of people who just aren't familiar with the term Indian tacos or familiar with the term fry bread. And so, you know, there is each different tribe may have their way, you know, like I make mine, and a lot of the other Pawnees, they make their fry bread big and fluffy, but I know that the Navajos, that they have a different, you know, their bread looks a little bit different. So there's different styles and different variations of the people that have tasted them before, you know, they'll be like, oh, this is different than I've had a Navajo taco before. And so,
you know, Ramona, it's interesting when you say that you can almost, you know, tell where the fry bread comes from just based on how it looks. Folks, what do you think about that statement? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also, we are going to continue with this fry bread conversation, but we also want to hear from you right here on our program. This is Native America Calling. And, you know, when we throw out there that a lot of people associate fry bread or Indian tacos with our tribal nations, I also want to hear somebody's take on that, too. You can give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. Ramona, we're about a minute before break. Anything more you want to share as we continue this conversation?
Yes, there's not only, you know, fry bread associated with Indian tacos. A lot of people, I do like fry bread with cinnamon sugar. You hear about with fry bread with powdered sugar that is similar to like the funnel cake. And then I've done a fry bread dessert, which is fry bread with peaches and strawberries and vanilla pudding, real whipped cream, and then, you know, caramelized pecans on it. So there's different variations that you can use this fry bread to, it's not just Indian tacos or it's not just fry bread itself. It's, my sister actually came up with the recipe for a fry bread dessert, and that was her that she won a few contests on. But I've sold that, and so there's different variations that the fry bread can, you know, goes out into. This bread can branch out to other areas, not just the fry bread with chili or fry bread with corn soup or Indian tacos or fry bread powdered sugar. You can go to fry bread dessert. You can use it. There's people that make fry bread hamburgers now, fry bread pork sandwiches. I've done that. And so it varies.
There are many ways to have fry bread. And folks, we're going to continue talking about this. If there's anything you want to share, 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us. And when we think about it, we've heard Ramona's take, hearing about how it connects to her community, maybe even connecting to her family. What kind of fry bread story would you like to share with us today? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. And again, what do you think about this being associated with our tribal nations? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're going to hear another view on fry bread just after the break from a gentleman who knows his way around the kitchen. He's a chef. We're going to hear from him and his take on all of this. We want to hear yours too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. I'm Tara Gatewood, host of Native America Calling. On our next hour, we welcome three siblings out of the Seminole Nation that are helping our monthly spotlight rock out and loudly. The Osceola Brothers join us this October to talk about their debut release, Out of Nowhere. We hope you'll make plans to join us.
Settle down out on the edge of town. Far Buju, Medicare Part D is your prescription for a healthy life. For anyone with Medicare, Part D provides access to affordable prescription drugs. Sign up or switch your Part D plan during open enrollment from October 15 to December 7. For more information, visit www.medicare.gov. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Miigwech.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and it's all about fry bread today. Is your mouth watering as you listen to this discussion this hour? And when you think of the bubbly treat, do you imagine the smell floating through the air as your mom, grandma, or aunties, maybe even dad, stand around a pot of hot oil stretching out dough? Or does something else come to mind? Does it make you think of something maybe more negative? Maybe even your ancestors matching ingredients together that were used, that were issued to them during a time when they were being rounded up onto reservations. Join our fry bread conversation by calling 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we want to hear what bubbles inside of you when you contemplate fry bread. And should we as natives continue to celebrate fry bread as a symbol of resilience during the hardest of times? Or should we stop making fry bread and bring more traditional native foods into the spotlight? Share your opinion with us on our toll-free line. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and welcome in a call. We're going to hear now from a caller who's on the line. Let's say hi to Bart in Idaho Falls, Idaho, tuned in on KISU. Bart, thank you for your call, and go ahead and share your thoughts.
Hi. I agreed with the previous caller in moderation in all things. I think every culture has its own comfort foods, things that they eat for a treat and that they like going back to. And it can all kind of lead to diabetes, but as long as we eat balanced nutritional meals and get plenty of exercise, it shouldn't really be a problem. My family ate a lot of fried bread growing up, but none of us have diabetes now, so.
All right, there you go. Another voice talking about moderation, folks. What do you think about it? Do you think people who put up a fight against fried bread are taking things too far? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and take another call. We're going to say hi to Glenn in Jemez Springs, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Glenn, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Yes, I made a couple of Oranos, one in Albuquerque, one in Kingston, New Mexico, and I baked just plain bread and just really enjoyed doing that same kind of thing that I learned from Jemez Pueblo people, friends. My daughter is from indigenous roots and comes from El Salvador, adopted, and there they have the papusa, which you can also find in Albuquerque in a few restaurants. It's similar, but it has other kinds of food inside of it. And sometimes I've had fry bread that's been made with whole wheat flour, which maybe makes it a little bit more nutritious. I'm not sure, but I'm glad we have this kind of thing that we outside of Native American culture can also share and enjoy. So,
all right. Glenn, thank you for your call. And folks, maybe you also have a dish from your community that resembles it. And, you know, when we talk about the origins of fry bread, what do you think about what you heard so far? Have you been told a different story? And again, where are the origins of fry bread and what have they really brought to our community? 1-800-996-2848. We have a guest on the line from Pawnee, Oklahoma. We have Ramona Horse Chief. Fry bread is her business. She's a 5-time national Indian taco champion and fry bread champion. She is Pawnee and Cherokee. And maybe you simply have some questions about her since she knows her fry bread so well. Maybe you want to bump something off of her. Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. Ramona, we're also going to say hello, as promised, to a chef who is on the line in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We got Brian Yazzie. He's the chef de cuisine at The Sous Chef, and he is Navajo. Welcome back to the hour, Brian.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. And Brian, you know, we've talked a little bit about fry bread, how it relates, how far back it goes. We've even heard from folks who put a little bit of caution on top of their fry bread. Anything you want to share about kind of where you stand on all of this?
Well, my take on the fry bread is as an inspiring native chef who works with the pre-colonial menu and all ingredients that is indigenous to North America and South America. I have excluded fry bread, basically dairy, wheat, and gluten from what I cook with and what I create. And it's also something we do with the Sous Chef brand and the food truck I am a team member on, Tatanka Truck. So this is something I, growing up, yes, fry bread has also been part of my family, part of my community where I'm from. And just growing up eating fry bread, I had in my mind that it is Native American food. You know, it's something that is a part of our culture. It's what it is. And growing up, learning more about food and about Native American cuisine, if you may, I learned of research and learning of where fry bread came about and where wheat came about and how it was created. And with that, I looked beyond that, beyond fry bread.
And Brian, what did you find out when you were researching this?
Well, just like Ramona said, from my point of view and what I have found out, especially with the elders that I know, is that it was created, a staple created out of pain and suffering, which started from the Long Walk, with my Navajo tribe, with my ancestors in 1864. When they took that 300-mile walk and they were put into internment camps and they were given these government rations, lard, flour, sugar, salt, and spoiled potatoes, and et cetera. And they did what they could with what they had, and fry bread came about, from my understanding.
So, Brian, when you look at it, is that what you're reminded of?
Yes. Yes. To me, it's a staple. It's a reminder of pain and suffering, of how we came, of how it helped our people survive that period of time when we were misplaced from our natural being, from our natural agriculture, from our corn, from our staple that we are originally known for and known of, and we're misplaced. And we're given something that we had no idea what it was or how to cook it or how to create with that, with those ingredients. So to me, it's a reminder of pain and suffering, and which is why I excluded that from what I do. And I, for the people I do projects with and catering and demos, I show them a different part of Native cuisine, because if you go to powwows and different Native events, you will see non-Natives talking about Native food, and the first thing that comes up in their mind is fry bread. So what the work that I do and what I am involved in is looking beyond fry bread,
sure,
Working at the healthier parts of Native American cuisine.
Well, we know when it comes to Native food, there is definitely a lot of variety. And just hearing your thoughts on this, Brian, is pretty interesting. There is a BuzzFeed video going around, and it has non-natives tasting Native cuisine, and it's pretty interesting. They give them wild rice, they give them Three Sisters stew, and you hear these kind of reactions, and then at the end they give them a Native taco and with fry bread on it, and it's interesting to just see how they quickly turn. And they start endorsing, yes, eat indigenous food or try it when they start eating the taco. But yet when they're eating the other stuff, you're seeing some pretty interesting reactions. And folks, maybe you've seen that video too. What do you think about that, of people's reaction when they eat some of this and maybe even when they eat other indigenous food? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Folks, Brian and Ramona, we have calls coming in, people who also want to get in on this conversation. Maybe you're one of them. Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We are talking about fry bread. What does it look like in your community? What does it make you think of when you hear about it? And what do you think about its relationship to our tribal communities? Good or bad? Share your thoughts. 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and take some calls. We're going to go ahead and say hello now to Alice in Belcourt, North Dakota, tuned in on KEYA. Alice, thank you for your call. And what would you like to share?
Hi. Personally, I think fry bread may have started with the Mexicans because I was listening to the Shawnee lady or Pawnee lady saying how she had put sugar on it. And that's the way the Mexicans serve it, with honey and sugar. And I was raised in New Mexico. I'm Laguna Pueblo. And I noticed that a lot of our foods are like Mexican food.
Yeah, especially when you start talking chili. Thanks for your observation, Alice. And folks, what do you think about that? And if we start thinking about who puts sugar on it, you know, folks in Louisiana and beignets, what about that? Give us a ring, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's talk to Rebecca now in Taos, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Rebecca, on line one, thank you for your call. Go ahead.
You bet, yes. I grew up in Taos, New Mexico. My great-grandmother was Navajo. My mother used to roll out the dough and cut it in squares, and we call them sopapillas here in New Mexico if they're not in round shape. She also made the round shape and called them buñuelos, and traditional, you know, Spanish cuisine bread that we used to eat with honey. And as I was growing up, I saw the creation of the Indian taco from the same type of dough that my mother used to make for the sopapillas. And so I've been enjoying them for all my life. I eat in moderation. It has to be in moderation, of course. I have a very healthy family, no diabetes in my family. But anyway, that's my comment.
All right, Rebecca, thank you for your call. We're going to take another one. We're going to hear now from Mario in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Mario, thank you for your call, and go ahead, share your thoughts on this.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Let's see. I would say that being the Nef from New Mexico, Navajo tacos are completely prevalent in our society, that we should probably start weaning away from it. I think somewhere I read that heart disease is the number one killer of Indian people, and if you had deep-fried stuff, a lot. I know they're saying in moderation, but once you get down in a community level, it's a lot of people, their diets are just completely colonized. So I agree with the chef that spoke up and that's on the line, that we really should start getting back to original foods, because inside of our foods is wellness. And so there's a lot of like spirits, a lot of, a lot of beings, sacred beings that are tied with the food that I think a lot of people now today are spiritually bankrupt, or spiritually they need more spirituality. I think going back to our native foods would really help a lot of people, and I think that's my comment.
All right, Mario, thank you for your call. Brian, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to get away from fry bread and just basically the palate. You know, growing up, having that taste when you were a kid and that memorized and that palate is all you know of, you know, and once you taste a fry bread, like, yeah, you think of home, you know, because that's what you're given when you were a baby. And when you're younger, you know, that's what you're given. And that's what you grew up with, from your grandma's fry bread, and which is tasty, yeah. But I think now it's time with inspiring chefs like myself and my colleagues who are coming up and speaking on these type of topics, I think it's time to move away from that and return our ancestral food and taste and memory and bring up the healthier part of our diets, because according to U.S. Department of Agriculture, in some Native communities, specifically the Gila River Pima tribe, half of the population suffers from diabetes. And most of it is part of that. The problem is fry bread, because it's the poverty that we're in and what the government and the tribal government is giving our people, the commodity food, what we started off with, is still there within our communities. And that's something that needs to change from higher above, and then start with community gardens that we have,
Brian,
in future next.
Sure. And Brian, when we are talking about this, do you think we also need to make mention to, you know, all the things? I think if we talk about soda, or, you know, even, you know, high starch foods that you can get really cheap, is that also something we need to be saying when we're talking about the type of foods that might be challenging our health?
Yeah, just all around. It's just the palate that we have been used to. I know it's hard, but it's just something that we need to start taking seriously now. And within our communities, more than half are diabetes, and it's just an epidemic that needs to be taken care of.
All right, thanks for that. And let's take one more call. We got Catherine in Albuquerque, New Mexico, joining us today on the line. Catherine, what's your take?
Well, I was just talking about something that you brought up earlier in the show about how different communities, it looks different. And up north, where I'm from, Minnesota, fry bread was really kind of heavy and like bready, and very much like baking powder in it. And only about 6 inches across with a hole in the middle, you know, so it cooks evenly. However, when I came here, I was so surprised because the bread was stretched, you know, it's real thin and pastry-like. It tastes like pastries.
You know, it's interesting, Catherine, and, you know, you think you saw a difference. Take your grandma along. And, you know, if we were to have some of our elders taste fry bread from different areas, oh, the conversation that comes next. Catherine, thank you for your call. I want to squeeze in one more. We got Danny in Roswell, New Mexico, listening online. Danny, what would you like to add?
Good afternoon. I would like to add, from Serbia of descent. My great-grandparents moved here. And I remember my grandmother and great-grandmother making exactly the same thing. We had fry bread back there. It was just fascinating to me how similar some of these foods are you can find between the cultures. I mean, Serbia is in southeastern Europe. Natives are over here. So it's a big, big difference. Big distance, I mean, I'm sorry. But it's a lot of the same dishes that I find with Native Americans.
Sure, Danny. And, you know, I've heard similar things to even folks from Africa saying, you know, relating to a type of fried dough that's there. And so we are getting close to the end of the hour. And Ramona, we've put, you know, a different spin on this and in hearing another side of fry bread. I wanted to give you a chance if there's anything you wanted to pick up on or just add your comments to. Ramona, are you there?
There you go.
Okay, good deal.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You know, your thoughts. We've heard people make a case against fry bread. Brian, stop eating fry bread. They don't really push it in the stuff that they're doing. Callers have called in and said things against fry bread. I just want to get your take. If there's anything you want to share.
Okay. Can you hear me, Sarah?
Yep, hear you clear.
Okay. I won't say final comment, but my mother, they lived, she used to say we were poor and we didn't even know we were poor because they were rich in food. They lived off of the land. They had, you know, acres of land that they farmed on, corn, squash, all the, you know, potatoes, fresh fruits and vegetables, and, you know, they would go out, and she's talking about something. Corn, ears of corn, wagons, and but what can it?
Ramona, I'm sorry, you're cutting out. Let's see if we can rework her line so that we can hear the rest of her story. While we do that, let's take a call. We're going to hear from Charles in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Charles, are you there?
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Go ahead and share your thoughts.
Oh, I just want to make a statement. You guys are making me hungry.
Well, you know, it happens.
I'm salivating, driving around town looking for some any tacos, so my family's going to be in for a treat tonight.
Oh, boy. Well, Charles, thank you for your call. And, Brian, while we're still working on Ramona's phone line, you know, when we talk about food, we definitely don't want to ostracize people or make people feel awful because they like, they cook, their parents taught them how to do this. How do we get to that point? And especially when we think about community settings, if you were to sit there and an elder made fry bread, put it in front of you and sat there and you turn around and want to, you know, carry on this kind of dialogue that we're having, you might get in trouble. You might get thrown out of the house. You know, how do we balance these kind of things so that, you know, we're talking about this in a good way and not judging people or maybe even, you know, just making them feel awful?
Yeah, I mean, thank you for bringing that up because it has happened to me a couple of times now since I stopped eating fried bread. It's just a dialogue that needs to be started throughout Indian country, you know. It's okay to say no, that you can, I mean, you say thank you for providing that, but you also have that right to say no because of what you stand for and what you're representing and what you're doing for Indian country and your and the diet part of it, the healthy part of it. You know, it's okay to say no. And if there, and most people, and I'll tell you, most people get offended when I say no. And some people will understand, and we would have it. We would talk about the pros and cons of it, you know, and they would understand why I rejected the piece of fry bread. You know, I mean, it's a great gesture for them to feed me, but it's just me and what I do. I will not touch it, and it's just what I stand for. So it is okay to say no, and it is okay to start the conversation, a discussion about why. Why you're rejecting that and just in a positive way to give a feedback of why.
And Brian, for you being a chef, I'd imagine you'd even jump in the kitchen before the fry bread is even made to maybe start that dialogue or quickly get something else cooking. Is that a good assumption, Brian?
Yeah. I mean, with my tribe, one of our main staples is corn. So there's a lot to do with corn. You know, we have the kneel down bread, we have the blue corn cakes. You know, we have all these stuff and also found an old recipe of how to make how to dehydrate pinyon or pine nuts, if you may, and break it down into flour, and then make bread out of that as well. So there's these old recipes that I have found, but I have yet to experiment with. So there's other ways around that.
Pretty interesting. And folks, maybe you have suggestions too. Give us a ring, or actually, we're at the end of the hour. Instead, send us an email, comments at nativeamericacalling.com, or send us a tweet or post directly on Facebook on today's post. Let's try Ramona again. Ramona, are you there?
Hi, Tara. This is Ramona. I hope you can hear me now.
Yeah, you sound a lot better. Just
okay,
go ahead
good.
And wrap up your thoughts.
Okay. My thought is that I just like if somebody had mentioned before that fry bread just reminds me of like home, of you know, it's comfort to me. I love fry bread, and you know, we use it in a lot of our ceremonial dances, and just a lot of our dances and a lot of our ceremonies, and we use it in our morning feast that we have. And then also, you know, with one thought is that, you know, personally, we were brought up to where we don't. It's not okay to say no when food's coming by and to, you know, but it's considered rude. And we do this at our ceremonial, you know, ceremonies, and that, you know, it's passed around and that you partake of, even if you just take one bite, that you take that food and you don't pass, you know, corn by, you don't pass potatoes by, you don't pass the meat by, you don't pass the fry bread by, the estrada, which is bread. And then, and because that's rude, even if you just partake of a bite, and I believe that everything is in moderation, and that, I mean, I would be sad, you know, to see, you know, fry bread go away, because again, it has, I believe that everything is moderation. Like I said, my mother and my grandmother lived off it, and they also lived off the land. They lived off of, you know, fruits and vegetables. They gardened, they canned, and but they also had fry bread as well. And they didn't have it every day. You know, they did, you know, a healthier version of it some days and just cooked it. They called it a skillet bread, and it's the same fry bread dough. And I know fry bread is flour and turns into a starch, which turns into sugar, and but everything is in moderation. And they just cook that fry bread dough in the skillet. And, you know, it doesn't rise as much, and it's a little bit denser, but it's good as well. But it's not deep fried, you know. And I think that I just love fry bread. You know, it's provided for my family, and it's a staple within, I believe, within our Pawnee people. And we use it in our ceremonies and that bread, and that we believe it. We put it out there, and that it'll help them sustain them throughout the day, and you know, and throughout, and get them through their day, and carry them far, along with the corn soup, along with the meat, and you know, even potatoes, those are things that are from the land. And, you know, I know that it's all this big health kick and everything, but I just truly believe that everything is in moderation, because all of our people, you know, all of our folks from a long time ago, they didn't have all these vitamins and everything. And but they still live. I have folks that lived in their 90s, and, you know, they didn't take vitamins. They ate, some of them ate fry bread every other day or so. And so that's just my thoughts, you know.
Sure. And Ramona, thank you for that. And folks, a lot to think about. If there's more you want to say, 1-800-99-99-NATIVE is our Twitter handle. Send us a tweet right now. Photos are welcome, too. Ramona and Brian Yazzie, thank you both for being with us. Ramona Horse Chief, and sharing your stance on fry bread. Thank you very much. And folks, this show is in our archives. Check us out, NativeAmericaCalling.com. And we invite you to join us again on Monday for our Music Maker Edition, where we'll hear from the seminal band, the Osceola Brothers. I'm Tara Gatewood. We'll be back on Monday.
Support for this program provided by the University of Tulsa College of Law, offering a 100% online master's degree program in Indian law. This degree can move your career forward and help you work effectively in Indian country. Deadline for spring application is December 1st. Info at law.utulsa.edu/MJIL. As an American Indian or Alaska Native, there is one simple thing you can do to help your elders, help young people seeking an education, and help develop Native businesses. Exercise your right to vote for the candidates of your choice on November 8th. Your vote on Election Day makes a difference in Washington, D.C. and at home. Vote for our people, our land, and our future. Know your rights and go to NativeAmericaCalling.com for more information. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.